Would you turn with me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 3 in verses 8 and 9. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Paul makes a tremendous claim, a claim that he has been entrusted with a secret that had been hid in God, that the secret was revealed to him, enabling him to preach a full gospel, which concerned the unsearchable riches of Christ. There are at least 3 points worthy here of our attention. First, the words unto me and their significance. Secondly, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And thirdly, the claim that a secret had been revealed to him. Shall we consider the third point first? In our thinking of our position as Christians, the claims of Christ, our hopes in this world and the next, we tend to think of spiritual blessings. Faith, hope, love, peace, and acceptance with God are indeed the right subjects for our thoughts and meditation. And we believe that we have a place in God's purposes in the next world, while we believe that he will lead and guide us in this present life. However, God's purposes do not only relate to us as individuals. There is a national purpose. And to fully understand the scriptures, we need also to think on a national scale. Why was Israel God's chosen people? For example, consider the prophecy of Zacharias as recorded in Luke chapter 1, when John the Baptist was born. Blessed be the God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our forefathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Thus we are brought back to the covenant made with Abraham, which you will remember was, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Ending with the words, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The covenant with Abraham was confirmed to Isaac and to Jacob, and Israel's God was known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for this reason. Throughout the years, the hope that Israel would be blessed and made the channel of blessing to the whole world was in view. But so far, up to today, the completion of that promise has not taken place. One cannot in a few moments trace the whole history But briefly, we can remember that our Lord came not only as the Savior of mankind, he was the King of the Jews. And this title was placed on the cross when Israel as a nation rejected him. We could review the book of the Acts from a national standpoint and see how Israel rejected their Messiah a second time. This resulted in the salvation of God being sent to the Gentiles. This result was a catastrophe for Israel, bringing about, firstly, the fall of Jerusalem, secondly, the destruction of the temple, and thirdly, the dispersal of Israel throughout the world. Only in my lifetime has there been any apparent change. As a boy, I saw Palestine on the map, but now I see a state of Israel, and the Jews are returning. But they are returning now in unbelief. The time will come when God's plan will be resumed for Israel as a nation. That will be when, as we read in Zechariah's prophecy, shall we just turn to Zechariah chapter 12 and see for ourselves. Zechariah, the last but one book in the Old Testament. And chapter 12. And verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, and the land shall mourn every family apart. Every one of God's messengers in the Old Testament scriptures foretell the return of Christ as king in Jerusalem. And so we come to Paul himself. He persecuted the Christians, but was suddenly halted in his mad career when on the road to Damascus. We can understand why he says, I am the least of all saints. But he was an energetic man who did whatever he attempted with great drive, power, and enthusiasm. The new message was given to him personally by the risen Christ. And so, he says, unto me is this grace given. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul describes himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And this ministry to the Gentiles is often called the prison ministry of Paul. In the earlier epistles written during the period of the Acts, he distinguishes between his own ministry and that of Peter. And in the Epistle to the Galatians, he writes, the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentile. So both Peter and Paul recognized that they had different ministries. Peter spoke to Israel, while Paul had his special ministry to the Gentiles. What are the special points in this ministry? It is called the Gospel of the Grace of God. And Paul refers to the dispensation of the grace of God. So that first and foremost, it is salvation by grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. No longer can we claim good works as a means of salvation. We rely entirely upon the finished work of Christ himself. Christ died for us, and it is through his death and resurrection and ascension that we have hope, that our sins are forgiven, and that we have access into the very presence of God. What a wonderful message this is. And now we begin to think of the third point, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we find that the word unsearchable only occurs elsewhere in Scripture in Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 11 and verse 33. It is actually translated here, past finding out. The verse reads, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." The Greek word for unsearchable in this verse is our word inscrutable, implying that God's judgments are unfathomable. No one can plumb their depths. In Ephesians 3 verse 8, a more correct translation for the word unsearchable could be untraceable. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the untraceable riches of Christ." Untraceable indeed, for it had been kept hid in God from the beginning of the world. Here was a plan, kept secret by God, until his people, the nation of Israel, had refused their Messiah in person and through the ministry of the apostles during the Acts period, and not revealed by his servant Paul until after the close of Acts chapter 28. Paul writes from his prison in Rome, with the nation of Israel temporarily set aside, in his letters to the Ephesians and the Colossians, of an inheritance for Jew and Gentile on an absolutely equal basis. This inheritance is not on the earth, but in the heavenly places far above all, where Christ himself is. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and set him far above all in the heavenly holiest of all is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. No wonder Paul speaks of grace and riches and tells us that this blessed hope cannot be found elsewhere in Scripture. The nation of Israel are still not willing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Will you read through Paul's letters to the Ephesians and Colossians prayerfully and carefully? The prayers found in Ephesians chapters 1 and 3 will greatly help you. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end.